pointed out that there's a Reno 911 episode where they do make them wear pink. And
does it help?
Yeah, for sure.
Then we should do it.
We should do it. Everyone watch this. Also, like, I joked in 2020 at some point about, like, I don't know what national day it actually was, but I was like, it's, remember, tomorrow is National Do Molly with a Cop Day. And some of you, and I'm like, no, like, do you know how much we could fucking solve all of this? You guys hate cops? Everyone do Molly with a cop. I bet you most of those losers have not done Molly.
That's true.
They don't know what it feels like. So, like, if we actually did that, fucking turn the other cheek, whatever, and do Molly with a cop. You have some conservative, like, friend who's a cop, and you know he kind of means well, but he's also kind of a douchebag.
Yeah.
Fucking do Molly with him.
That's the last dude I would want to do Molly with, honestly.
I know! That's why it's the right thing to do. We have to heal them. The whole need not a physician.
Look, I have these opinions and viewpoints, but I'm not willing to do the work.
Right.
I gotta go
do Molly with a cop for you fucking heathens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you can just do Molly with two cops. You can do Molly with your cop and my cop.
Hey, dudes and dudettes and dudexes. Welcome to Wrong Questions Only, your politically non-binary culture peace podcast with your host, me, Ariel Isaac Norman.
This episode is one of my favorites that I've recorded yet. This is with my friend Alexis. She'll introduce herself in a minute, but she's a trans chick. She's a friend of mine. And every conversation we've ever had has been just so fun. We both have great senses of humor, if I do say so myself. So it's fun to talk to someone that I know I'm going to laugh with and share perspectives with. And we agree on some things. We disagree on some things. And it's all cool. And we help each other, I think, see new perspectives. We generate new ideas. We test out ideas on each other. It was a lot of fun. Sometimes I put episodes in various orders or try to edit around things. I actually really want to share as much of this episode as I can with y'all. I'm still doing all the work to edit out ums and things like that. I'm going to, you know, still go in there, and because I'm not famous yet, I don't feel like, you know, those podcasts you listen to where it's comedians and they're like, ha ha ha, we don't edit this podcast. Sometimes it's douchey people who aren't famous yet who say that, and, you know, they're not getting a lot of listens anyway. And then there's also famous people who say that, and that might be fine for them, but I still think it's worth it to not waste your time. Of course, now I'm spending time talking about that, but that's okay. Anyway, this episode, I had Alexis come to me with a topic that she wanted to focus on, and that topic was people with combo pronouns, she, theys, or he, they, specifically. We didn't really talk about the people who are she, he, they, but, I mean, everything that we say could kind of apply to that as well, because it's more just the concept of combo pronouns and how people handle that. But that also just got us off to talking about Kyle Rittenhouse and everything going on with that trial, as well as mental illness. We talked about psychedelics and the nature of the universe. We talked about fake boobs and boob sizes. That was a fun digression. But it's mostly focused on, I would say, the two biggest topics are combo pronouns and the Kyle Rittenhouse situation and the media. But we also had some issues with the microphone, so I had some issues where I'm an idiot. Anyway, so the last half of the conversation is going to be on Patreon and Substack. So if you get to the end of this episode and you want more, do head on over there. I'll come back and tell you about that at the end. Patreon.com/WQO.substack.com, just to get it going in your minds. But yeah, because I had microphone issues, I also just didn't want to put the whole thing out in this main episode. And it sounds fine, the last half of the episode that'll be on the Substack and Patreon. It's just not up to what I want it to be, but it sucks because our conversation was so funny and interesting. And I just, like, it was great top to bottom. And I hope that some of y'all will check it out and maybe get into some discussions on Substack about it. I'm still figuring out how to make the Substack conversation thing seamless and easy, but we're getting there, as with everything. Is there anything else I really need to tell you? Oh, I'm going to put a clip of this podcast up on YouTube as well. We did start recording video for some of it, but also when we were recording the video, thankfully, when the recording cut out. So essentially, if you want to listen to all of this episode, then you need to listen to this public episode right here. Go to YouTube and watch the clip that is the middle of our conversation, and then you need to go to Substack or Patreon and listen to the rest of it. It's worth it. But also, I'm just going to try to start putting up YouTube clips when I can. I really like this because we were talking in person. I do prefer that. Some people, obviously, we have to Zoom, but I'm going to try to do more and more conversations in person and also be putting things up on YouTube. Okay, this has been too long already. I hate this. But you know what? At least it's not ads. So many podcasts, when they carry on in the beginning, it's fucking ads. And I'm not selling you anything yet. I will in the future. Okay, one thing I forgot to mention is that in the beginning, we kept kind of going back and forth about recording and smoking and things not working or whatever. And so there'll be a few little tiny breaks with music, and then we'll come back in. But then before you even get to the 10-minute mark, then that stuff ends. And then you get into a nice long stretch where we're just talking. So, okay, enjoy.
Yeah. So my name's Alexis. Known Ariel for a little while now. I date Ava, who Ariel does a podcast with, and
called Gender Fluids.
Called Gender Fluids. Yeah. Sorry, I should always be more specific. Yeah. Gender Fluids. It's fucking great. I got to watch it happen behind the scenes, like frequently when Ava and Ariel live together, and it's a fucking hoot.
And how old are you? I make everyone.
I'm 30. I think. Yeah, 30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the age when you stop being sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And okay, so let's smoke, actually. Fuck this.
Quiet out here.
So what?
Quiet.
Sometimes there are children screaming constantly. Or dogs barking. We put dog bark collars on the dogs, but they don't. I think they're just masochists. I think they're subs, and they like
dirty dogs.
They're just barking more than ever. Yeah. Well, let's try to start talking, and we'll see if I'm just in. I've been like kind of in a mostly depressed mood for the last several days, so we'll see.
Right on. So have I. So
okay. Well, it's been a full moon.
Yeah.
And
it was a lunar eclipse.
On that, the eclipse. Yeah, that's gotta be it. Something like that. So all of our mental disorders were peaked, which helps you realize that you have those mental disorders, and then you can.
Yeah, sometimes it's useful when they're peaking because then at least you know what you have.
Yeah, the first step is admitting you have a problem. Yeah.
So yeah.
It helps. We all hit rock bottom at the same time. It really helps. Or whatever. I mean, rock bottom is this is pretty good rock bottom.
I don't know. Rock bottom, I feel like, can spread like a virus sometimes.
Yeah, somebody that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Maybe not rock bottom, but rock low. And we're all, there's a contagion of hitting a trough in for all of us, and then it spreads.
Yeah.
It spreads bad.
Because he loves to send me messages about fucked up sexual things he wants to do to me, and I really like them.
So you're okay. So this guy you're not attracted to, but you are turning because he is good at saying hot sex things.
Yeah. He's really good at being like just the right type of like fucked up and demeaning, and like I want to like own you and like rent you out to men for money, but like you know I like subjugate you, and right. If you don't want it, like I want to like drug you. You know, and
yeah,
like,
hitting all your
yes,
sub,
please, and like you want fantasies. You have a bunch of plastic surgery. It's perfect, okay. He really wants it. He's like, yeah, I've done this once before, like 10 years ago, and then you know the girl ended up deciding that she didn't want to do it after several years.
Well, it had those kind of text relationship,
no,
or
no,
went
like,
through plastic surgery IRL. For his.
Yeah.
What all did she do?
We haven't gotten into that.
She had plastic surgery?
Yeah.
For sex reasons?
Yeah. I mean, he's like a sugar daddy, but he's like really into like bimbos.
Right. Know?
And so there's also girls that are really into being bimbos. And then it got too real, as it probably often does.
Yeah. Okay. How many people are going trans because some dude's paying them?
Not enough.
Oh, God. Someone just pays someone to go back and forth, like transition, retransition. It's all a sex thing.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. I figured, the goat is banging the door. Okay. So, I mean, to me, you're like basically having sex with this dude, you know, like that's, even if you're not like attracted to him, if you're engaging in this like relationship and you're like encouraging him to say all these things, then like, this is like a relationship you're in, right?
Sort of.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah.
I don't want to look at it like that, though.
Because he's not attractive.
Yeah, no. Not only is he not attractive, he's, like, not a good person.
Oh, well, like, yeah, he doesn't sound like he's probably good. I mean, I'm sure you could be a good, you could be a good person and be, like, a dom who makes a woman or a man or whoever get plastic surgery. No, actually, I don't think you're a good person if you're...
I mean, if that's...
If your kink takes it to that, I don't know, man.
If that's what they want, you know... And but, that's agreeable to you, and you're helping them realize their fantasies.
Plastic maybe. Surgery? What, I mean, did this, it's a chick that he was doing this with?
Yeah.
What, did she like the way she looked afterwards?
I mean, I didn't talk to her about it, but what like, did he say? Yeah, I think so.
I don't know, I feel like most people who get plastic surgery, it looks like bad.
Yeah, but that's kind of the charm.
Oh, like getting big gauges in your ears.
Sort of, yeah, but yeah. Like gigantic, obviously fake tits, you know?
I don't like it because then you bounce off the chick instead of sinking in.
I wouldn't know. I've never...
You never hugged a fake boob?
Well, not like a huge fake boob.
Or even, they usually get them pretty decently big at least.
Yeah, but I'm talking comically big.
Well, that's, I mean, that would be insane. I know, that's...
Yeah, just, that's, yeah. That's the deal.
Is that what some people like that?
Yeah, like I mean, the whole, like, you walk into a room and people are like, what the fuck was she thinking with those? That's
a way to, yeah, that's a way to command attention, for sure. But some people have real, like, ginormous boobs, too.
Yeah.
So sometimes, but I guess you could usually tell because they're lifted too much if they're fake.
I think when you get them that big, you want people to know they're fake. You know, so
how
you,
big
you go
are you
for an
talking
obviously
about?
Fake shape.
Like the
I don't
like the kind that exists in nature, or like bigger than what exists
bigger
in
than,
nature.
Bigger than what exists in nature.
Okay,
like a there's no way those could possibly be real.
Because there's a world record for how big your boobs are, right?
There's gotta be.
People must be constantly just getting that. You know what I mean? That has to update like every 3 times a year. Some chick just gets even bigger boobs with her, yeah, sugar daddy's money.
Maybe, I don't know. There's probably a limit, you know? Like, there's just got to be a point where it goes too far and it becomes totally unlivable, right?
Yeah, because there's a lot of women with natural boobs are like, please, I need surgery to get these down so that I can run, so I'm not in back pain. So these people who, you can't be getting the size... Triple M or whatever for too long. I bet people, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they probably get rid of them at some point.
Detransition after.
Yeah. I think the cutoff is probably like once your tits are so big that you like literally have to have a helper to like live your life, you know? It's kind of like you can only get so fat before you like have to have someone help you.
Yeah. Right? Where's the Jerry Springer show for women who've gotten these boob jobs to get, you know, size G or whatever? I don't even know what I feel like past double, like, or I don't even know if there is triple D. I don't even know if that's a thing, but past like double D's, I feel like then the letters start, it's like Roman numerals where you're
they
like, is it a
shit.
C or an M or a
well, so
X?
Like a double D is the same thing as an E, but nobody calls it
what?
An E.
This is like the piano all of a sudden, you know, like there are different.
And a triple D is an F, right? So
what?
Yeah.
What kind of Dewey Decimal, I don't, that's using like pi to compute where we go from three D's or E. What is this? What else? Okay. So what's after F?
G?
Is G the same as
the
triple?
Alphabet.
Is it four D's? Is
yeah,
it G?
Yeah.
So you could put it in D's. You could put the whole thing in D's. You could just keep adding D's.
Yeah.
Or an M is like 17 D's or whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
Is that what the system is?
I mean, would you rather be an F or a quadruple D?
Quadruple D.
Quadruple D, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think like quintuple D, that's not a thing. Nobody does.
5D?
Then it's like, girl, you're just, that's ridiculous. What's after F?
I don't G. Know.
Yeah.
Yeah, G. Well, G is just, and now it just stands for ginormous.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. 5D kind of sounds cool. So there's like, there's 5G now, yeah, cellular 5D. Things, 5D. Whatever that, I don't know what the G thing is. I remember everybody's like, it causes, what, are they going to take over minds? I'm like, well, I don't know what the internet is in general. What is a G? A gigabyte? I don't know what word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the cutoff is once we don't know how many D's to add, you know.
So what's past Z? What happens?
Well.
You just keep adding. You have to go back to D?
I don't think.
27D?
I think you just, they kill you after that.
Like, yeah, you're boop, you implode.
They put you down.
Just for eugenic reasons. We can't go this direction. The women are dying for the greater good.
Yeah.
No, you just sterilize a woman like that until she dies naturally. Yeah. Well, that'll happen. I don't know. That's if your boobs are too big.
Good solution in general.
Yeah, for most things. What are we talking about? Humans? What? Yeah. So boobs. So what? How do we get here? You have a. So you, are you not getting money out of him yet?
No.
Okay.
The money, I don't care about.
It's more entertaining. It's like it's hot. Yeah.
Yeah. I just love that.
So far,
this guy will role play with me like this. But he really wants to do it. And I really want him to think I really want to do it because I want to pretend that I really want to do it.
Well, currently you're getting the free subscription, you know, but now you don't have to like do much back. So if you want like more, then you gotta, you know, give more. But you don't want, like, you wouldn't want to have any kind of actual contact with this guy.
No, I mean, at first, I didn't know. I thought maybe. Yeah. But we met on Grindr.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so it's just, he was one of those, you know, no profile picture kind of dudes on Grindr, and he sends you the one, you know, mirror pic from the gym, but you can't really see his face that well because there's flash, but his body looks decent enough.
Yeah.
But then you talk to him, and you realize that he's, like, a meathead crypto bro, and...
I assume that about all of them when I... Look at those pictures, yes.
Yeah, so, I don't know, I should have
Are all of those, that, yeah, is that what you, so...
Let me tell you where I draw the line, okay. Honestly, is the way this guy talks about women is disgusting, honestly, I can't abide.
Yeah. So, have you told him that?
No, I mean, I'm joking, I'm, oh. Right, because he's, oh. Because the whole...
Oh, the thing whole is that how thing he is talks that, about you that way, you want him to.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought maybe that there was some things he was actually just commentary he was throwing in.
I am making a joke, but I also did really have that thought when he was talking about some bitch he used to date, and I was like really is jarred by that for
really,
some reason.
Yeah, it's like, is this really like, it's that kind of thing, like, are we all in agreement about what we're doing here and where we really land in real life, or do you maybe sometimes lose yourself in actual misogyny?
Yeah, no, he's definitely.
And I'm just gratifying your actual. Yeah, so to me, the moral thing to do would be to not give him satisfaction because you now know that he's a bad person.
That makes sense, but
I mean, to the extent that I believe in a bad person, but he currently, there are people who truly are like consciously amoral, if not just selfish and chaotic, evil or whatever.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So if he's, I mean, do you think that he thinks of himself? Like, how do you think he thinks of himself?
I don't think he does.
I guess there's a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean, he just does what he wants, you know? He's unaware of, I don't know.
Yeah, so do you think you don't have, like, a moral duty to...
I think...
Say something to this man about his actual misogyny?
I think my moral duty is to take advantage of his actual misogyny because I want to role-play somebody treating me misogynistically.
Yeah.
Because it's validating to my gender identity.
So, okay, so you're doing this for trans people.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. In order, as a utilitarian, there's at least one trans woman who is being affirmed by this man, and then that way you're offsetting his carbon footprint of being a misogynist.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. That's what's happening.
Okay. But at some point, I feel like you should tell him he's ugly and a misogynist.
I think you'll get the point when we just, like, never meet up.
Yeah, okay, but then if you get to the point where he's like losing interest because you're never going to meet up, you could just say something to him like, hey, by the way, I've really enjoyed using your misogyny for my kink, but you know, you really should maybe read X, Y, or Z book.
No, I'm not going to. That's not fun.
But you're leaving him at that point anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. That just feels bad to me that then you're just like gratifying this guy who actually hates women.
Maybe it is bad. I mean, at least if he's putting this woman-hating sexualization energy into me, yeah. someone who likes it yeah. and can just like shrug it off as role-play,
yeah.
then he's not putting it into somebody that it's actually hurting.
What if it just ramps up his desire for it and for more, and that
well, I mean,
once he just doesn't, you know...
I can't predict shit like that.
Yeah.
It's hard.
We've never figured it out because Freud brought that up, but ever since then we've never really been able to figure out whether people really are like, that have that kind of valve thing or not, you know, like if things kind of get ramped up in us and then at some point we need to like a release valve mm-hmm. for it. And so that whether it's like these, yeah, kind of fantasies, masturbations, video games that are violent or whatever, like is it work as a release valve or the sex dolls for pedophiles, right? Like that's a good one. It's like, does it work as a release valve? So that they don't do bad stuff IRL or, you know, to others, whatever. Or does it allow them to continue to, like, spend time and energy in those fetishes, which then build the appetites for wanting more?
I mean, it's probably different for each person.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's, yeah. How
some people have an addictive personality when it comes to, like, fucking kids.
Right.
And some people don't. Some people can... have child right. sex dolls, and that's good enough.
So it's just like alcohol or anything else where it's like, well, it's going to help some people sometimes. It's going to hurt some people sometimes.
Yeah, it's just like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, so you want to talk about she, they pronouns and he, they pronouns.
Yeah, I'm not. It doesn't matter if she, they, he, they. I feel the same about this.
Do you think there are distinctions for people where they're purposely doing either saying she, they or they, she?
Yeah, that's
have to be, right? Yeah, it's like, I feel like now we have a 7-point Kinsey-esque scale where people can be she, her, she, they, them, they, he, they, he, him. I mean, we could discuss the science fiction people, but they're just completely, you know, there's always going to be a few dorks doing something, but whatever.
Sure.
So the rest of us have like a 7-point scale at this point.
Yeah, I would sort of agree with that, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're going to be honest about what people are doing...
Yeah.
Because people, that's why I had this chick on, we talked about her she, they pronouns, and and they just kind of didn't feel, and I've, you know, seen like, I was actually on Urban Dictionary, it was saying, it instead of having like a funny answer, at least for the top one, it was just like what the queers would say. Mm-hmm. And it was saying like, well, this woman said, well, I don't really... fully feel like a woman, but I also don't want to like divorce myself or divest myself of the, I don't feel completely separated from the woman experience.
Yeah. So like a lot of women feel.
That's everybody, because being a woman is also an idea. Like we have our femaleness and then there's also an idea like this. So yeah, it's hard for me to escape that conclusion. That's like, you know, well, everybody's non-binary then. If what you guys are calling non-binary is non-binary, then that's literally everybody.
Right.
So we can just, at that point, we're talking about purely a spectrum. So let's all just fucking pick a point on it. Do your quiz thing. Back when the internet was slightly more fun than it is now, it's getting worse. It's always gotten worse since about, I guess, 2007?
Yeah, I would say somewhere around there. I don't know. Yeah. I started getting on 4chan in like 2006 or 2007.
Oh, I guess and that would have changed your experience.
Yeah, so for me, it's been circling the drain for like a while.
Mm-hmm. I still think something like that, 2007-ish, is maybe about when the internet started getting less and less fun.
Yeah.
Just becoming more work and more, whatever. Because
yeah,
that was when I was still using StumbleUpon.
Oh, yeah, I remember that website. Yeah, I found some cool shit like that. Yeah. The thing that makes the internet fun for me or not fun for me now is that you're so accountable for everything. You know,
yeah, it's just like there's less anonymity. There used to be a lot of real anonymity.
Yeah.
On the internet.
Yeah. It's and true. So there was almost like this sense of like powerlessness to affect the real world in a sense from the anonymity. But now people will just weaponize that shit. You know, anyone that's willing to do anything that's not anonymous is then subject to people crawling through what they think, you know, years ago they tweeted about with the lens of society today rather than the lens of society back then.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to continue to flood the world with so much that, like, if you try to look, people are going to be so overwhelmed by the amount of garbage that there is. You're not even just garbage, but, like, of just me, like, talking and saying things because, like, if someone goes to look, like, normally when people are canceling people, you have to search around and find some things. You don't have, there's so much that I've said, much less if, like, the government ever were to, like, tap my phone and just look at my note files on my, you know, much like I often don't have a password on my phone.
Oh no.
I do now because of Apple Pay. And I was like, you know what? This is probably for the best because
you there can't are people let in the world. People know what you think. Write it to notes.
Well, especially not when you're a comedian and some of your thoughts are like, you're just putting you know, spark notes of a joke so that, but it just, that's going to sound pretty ist and phobic and whatnot. Okay, so if people were being honest, like all we're doing with the pronouns is clearly just a scale, right? So, like, is this a is what do you think about? Is this good to have? Because if this confusion over like, do we need to have a gender neutral pronoun? Should we all use a gender neutral pronoun? Like, what would what's your utopia, and what do you think about our step right now?
So my utopia is where people understand all gender terms to be descriptive and not prescriptive.
Mm-hmm.
And people understand that, asking someone to use your particular pronouns or whatever is something that, if you're using like neo pronouns or something like that, that's not exactly like easy for people to do. And like, we may not integrate all the neo pronouns into our normal lexicon.
Mm-hmm.
And as
you just might have one autistic friend you call Apple or whatever.
Yeah, maybe. Right. But you can't realistically expect people to get that right. It's right. Okay to like ask, you know, but let's be real. You know, if you
and
have
that's all I hear most people say is like, I will try with these pronouns, but please stop getting mad at me when I fuck things up because I'm trying, but this shit's confusing. That's all most people have to say about it.
For sure. So all the like, you know, the from the he, him to the he, they to the they, he to the they, them, whatever. All that shit's good to me. But mm-hmm. what I don't like that we've got going on right now is apparently there's people that's like, oh, you're a she, they, but you want me to use she 66% of the time.
Yeah. And it's every joke I've ever made about what would be funny if people now do, earnestly.
Yeah.
If you go back and listen to Gender Fluids, everything that I say 3 years later is very popular. No pronouns. That was a character I did in like 2015 where I was Ariel and I had no pronouns because anyway. So, but with the she, they, on the Urban Dictionary thing that, like, you know, said that, then they also were giving examples. It was like, she is an artist. They are really great with colors or whatever. Giving these examples where it's like, these are the ways you could do it.
Yeah.
And they had various forms of that. But it's like, among of all the, like, they, them jokes I've ever made about the confusion of, like, these pronouns, mixing up pronouns is like a recipe for like, what the fuck are we even talking about?
Yeah.
Can you imagine trying to read a trial situation about who did what to whom in this? And there's a trans woman with she, her pronouns. And there's this non-binary person with
that's not a problem really because abolish the court. So
abolish all court. What do we do instead of court? Is that a joke? Is that an abolish the police?
No, no courts anymore. And, you know, there's no, we just don't put people in prison. And
well, then what do we do with the people who are
I don't know. I haven't made it that far, but abolish the courts and abolish prison sounds really good.
And then just see what happens.
Yeah. Well, this is clearly not working. So maybe we just see what happens.
Well, I know, but they've tried some other things throughout history and other things work worse than this. Now, I think there are countries who are currently doing much better than us.
Yeah.
So there's definitely things we could figure out because this is it's weird and not good. I mean, our government is generally pretty corrupt and not really caring about the people. So like, it's not, it's like the prison, it's everything is pretty bad. Like people are like, abolish the police. All cops are bastards. I'm like, how about the teachers? Should we abolish them too? Because that shit's not working. The DMV is not working. I mean, nothing's working, guys.
Yeah.
Of course, the police aren't working great. Yeah. But what are we going to do instead? That's what we want. All want to know from you fucking queers with this plan of let's get rid of the entire American. What are we going to do instead?
It
works better than a lot. Okay. There are a lot of cultures where currently, but also throughout history, where it's just like the women are getting raped all the time. People are stealing from each other. It's just like, it doesn't without.
Well, we just won't do that.
Okay. But some people are already doing stuff. Are you satirizing the position of these people on purpose?
I'm not satirizing the position on purpose. I guess I am effectively satirizing the position, but like, really, I'm just kind of like being dumb and characterizing my views overly simplistically.
Right. But but tell me why they're simpler or not. I mean, if you're going to say that about the prisons and the courts, whatever, it's like people do rape, people do kill, people do steal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. But
they'll do it more if there's no law.
I mean,
I'm pretty sure.
Maybe.
And until we fix everything else where everyone is eating and drinking and having meaning and purpose and community, the chicken and the egg, I don't think we can just like release everybody then hope that ushers in an era of peace and tranquility and harmony where everyone figures out how to, you know,
if we put all the money that we spend on like the courts and the police and all that shit. If we take that money and put it into helping people from the very get-go.
Right. But our government sucks at doing anything. So you can't have them really be in charge of much of that. And then we also, it's like, you can't just all at once be like, let them all go. No cops anymore. We're going to use money right now. Like, you have to, like, do things gradually to get to, let's start using some of this money. Which I think people are trying to do. And a lot of the kind of, like, defunding the police initiatives are like, can we cut the budget by $50 million? And then use that money to go into these neighborhoods and try to help, blah, blah, blah. I mean, to me, that sounds like useful. And also, like, now everyone knows we need to look at better training for cops and screening out the ones who are twitchy. There's a lot of that, you know, because some of the ones where it's like, oh, they knew people talked about him. He kind of was PTSD-ish from the wars. And
yeah,
so
there's
a lot of people we just need to be screening out and not letting them into these jobs. There's a lot of like just this Jocko Willett guy and all Joe Rogan's friends want to train the cops. Like they all have a whole plan where they want to train the cops to like know how to actually do stuff, to not be these fat losers anymore who are just so like shoot first, you know, like it'll be fine. You know, they're not putting their own lives on the line. They're supposed to be fucking heroes. They are supposed to be well paid though. We train them with well, but if we can have fewer of them who are actually well trained, instead of what we do now in America is just cheap, 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 just like quantity over quality. But if we reduce the number drastically of cops, train them way better and treat them well and treat them as heroes, but we have to do all of that too with the money.
I mean, I think that there's sort of like the oppression is baked into the idea of police.
Yeah, we also really need to make them wear pink.
I don't know that would
solve I really think it'll help some of it. And
it's been
pointed out that there's a Reno 911 episode where they do make them wear pink. And
does it help?
Yeah, for sure.
Then we should do it.
We should do it. Everyone watch this. Also, like I joked in 2020 at some point about like, I don't know what national day it actually was, but I was like, remember, tomorrow is National Do Molly with a Cop Day. And some of you fucked up. And I'm like, no, like, do you know how much we could fucking solve all of this? You guys hate cops. Everyone do Molly with a cop. I bet you most of those losers have not done Molly.
That's true.
They don't know what it feels like. So like, if we actually did that, fucking turn the other cheek, whatever, and do Molly with a cop. You have some conservative like friend who's a cop and you know, he kind of means well, but he's also kind of a douchebag.
Yeah.
Fucking do Molly with him.
That's the last dude I would want to do Molly with. Honestly.
I know. That's why it's the right thing to do. We have to heal them. The whole need not a physician.
Look, I have these opinions and viewpoints, but I'm not willing to do the work.
Right.
I gotta go
do Molly with a cop for you fucking heathens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you can just do Molly with two cops. You can do Molly with your cop and my cop.
I actually do need to do this. I don't think I've done Molly with a cop yet necessarily either.
I could probably find you.
Unless you count. Well, I know some cops too, but I gotta find some. Yeah, if you can find me some that are like, want to be good, but they're not really.
Yeah.
I know like good cops.
I know a dude like that. That's okay. Like he's well, he's not a bad cop. I mean, they're all bad.
But there's a yeah.
But he's
institutionally bad cop.
He's excited at the idea of fucking somebody up. But also, he's not gonna just murder people, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's not intrinsically racist. He's just accidentally.
It's like Kyle Rittenhouse.
Racist.
It's like, well, but it's like no. I mean, of course, he's 17, and there's people saying like. You got to go defend your community, and like you could wear a gun. All boys want to, and me want to wear that gun, and like be in like a thing. You've seen it in video games and on TV and everything, and you want to have meeting in person. You know, like this guy's going to go out because he wanted. He was like, you know, there on the little news saying, "And I'm going to run into harm's way." He was like, "I want to help people in case you know shit's going. I want to help, and I'm going to run into harm's way." And he did. He like reportedly like there's videos of him running to a fire and stopping. You know, like he actually was. He just wanted to be a hero. I mean, jerk yourself off. Like, of course, but of course, he's a 17-year-old boy. He wants to be a hero. It's red badge of courage. It's like what every fucking 17-year-old boy and all the boy like girls.
Yeah. Okay. So he wanted to be a hero, right? But he ended up killing how many people?
Yeah, but that fucking guy, the first one, was chasing after him. He's a crazy dude who had just gotten
I know, but the ramifications of him strapping this gun on and going to be a hero, you know, is like three people are dead, right?
Two and a half. One guy lost a hand. But in my head, I do. I just have a score.
2.15.
Yeah, exactly. A hand is big, but the guy was pointing a gun at him. Yeah. He waited until the gun was down, and then it was. And he said that to himself in court. But it does matter. It does matter who this Kyle is. Like, it does matter when people. I see the condemnation from my leftist friends on Instagram, and I'm like, I don't think you guys have looked into the story. The story is like not okay. Yes, maybe we judge that, but like if he felt like that was the right thing to do, that's the city where he was in at the time. It's his father's city. He has a part-time job there. So if he felt like that was the right thing to do, like I hate all boys who are 13 to 18 years old, if not a much wider range than that. Like, I would put all of them down if... did I say that a lot? Sorry. We would do something. No, put them to boarding school. Send them to war. Get rid of the weak. Put them in dangerous jobs. We would thin the herd, okay, is what I would do personally. So, like, sure. Yeah. I'm on your side. Okay, put him to sleep, you know? Sure. You've proven yourself to be a douche. I haven't watched the crying scene, but a lot of people feel like he looks douchey. I don't know.
I mean, he does look pretty fucking pathetic.
I've only seen, like, the still that they're choosing on the YouTube clip. I haven't clicked on it yet. So, of course, like, his face. Just like Cabbage Patch doll smushed up. Yeah.
I mean, I'll be real with you. I got no sympathy for the guy. But like, if I was staring down the barrel at essentially my life being over, I mean, that's basically what he was looking at.
Yeah.
I would probably look pathetic too.
Exactly. And you're just remembering the time that you killed people. And I mean, I remember the time that my sister and I ran over, she was driving, but a cat and killed it. And you know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, of course he's going to fucking cry. It would be inhuman if he didn't cry. And then we would judge him if he, whatever. Maybe he cried weird. How would you cry if everyone in the fucking country was watching you talk about the time that you killed those 2.5 people?
Yeah, so I'm not a big fan of like making fun of people for crying.
White girl crocodile tears, whatever they call them. White girl tears, I think. It's funny though. That's funny. I mean, if you're saying it to be funny, not...
Yeah, if you make a joke, that's one thing. But if it's like, you know, insinuating that he's like a pussy for this...
And these
like,
people who are writing articles are saying like stupid shit. It's... Yeah. I just don't... The media is so fucked up. But yes, you can agree that like... Or you could think that he doesn't... She shouldn't have gone there. I don't know. Like, I don't know what it's like. These places, these people, there is destruction happening in these towns. Things are set on fire. Sometimes other people die. But I don't think... People... Like, do you remember if people were dying much in the other protests?
It didn't happen much,
right?
I don't know. There's too many protests for me to keep tabs with who's dying.
I'm trying to remember if this was novel that, like, people had died at all. Because if it was, like, every other protest, yeah, there was damage to buildings, but no one died. And this was the only one where people died. That looks real bad for him. Where it's like, and that guy who... There was, like, some other guy who was saying to people on YouTube...
I mean, people been dying
you
at
should
protests.
Go to, so there are some people dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's, like, always happened. People...
So some people, you know, at least feel like... There was less death, and you know, like, or that was their intent at least. But the guy, I mean, it's his opinion, and like, I have no fucking idea. His contention that he thinks that it would have been worse, quite potentially, if they hadn't been there. He and his people hadn't been there with guns, trying to kind of keep the peace and try to help when there are worse first aid situations or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I don't understand, like, his intentions.
Yeah.
But, like, the road to hell was paved with good intentions,
sure,
or so to speak, right? So if we recognize something that may have been good intention but mm-hmm. was bad, which I yeah. would say in this case is bad, just objectively yeah. bad, that he went there with the gun and got into these, you know, confrontations and then killed one person and then in self-defense or whatever, killed the other two because they were trying to subdue him. Or not killed, the 1.5 or whatever it is at that point. I would say this is objectively bad. So we have to make sure that we reinforce the idea that this is bad rather than, like, give it a pass, because otherwise we'll just see other people doing more of this type of bad thing, even if those people all think that they're doing good things and, like, serving their community or whatever.
Yeah, I think you have to arrest more of the protesters, too, in this case, who are causing damage, and then...
I think arrest none of the protesters, personally.
Well, I don't know. But then also, I think if we were going to... So the deal is they brought him up on charges were just not realistic. Essentially what this is you could get him on that he was out after curfew. No, they were just letting all these people be out after curfew, basically, because they're not going to arrest everyone. And so, but he was out after curfew, and that led to a sort of manslaughter type, you know, kind of thing where it's like, because you were breaking this law, it did lead to the death of people that probably could have been avoided if, like, all of you people had been home, especially with the guns. Although, I mean, I don't know. I hold out just the possibility that they did actually help make things better. Just, I don't know. I'm not placing chips on how much I think. I'm just going to hold that possibility out.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, so I think if you could get him on something like that, that's a more minor charge, that makes sense, and you punish him. But I just don't think that you can punish him as if it wasn't clearly self-defense at the point where it happened.
I think you can, personally. I think that if you show up looking for a fight, which I think that's exactly what you do. I think that he's a 17-year-old kid who, yes, he thinks he's doing the right thing, but he literally wants to go antagonize people. That's the goal. He wants a confrontation, but I don't think he wants to have to kill people, but he wants to feel like that's on the table, you know, and yeah. he wants to feel like that gravity to the situation, but he probably wasn't ready to, like, actually do it. But yeah. anyway, I think that when you approach a situation like that, you don't just, like, find yourself in it, but when you, like, intentionally go to it, you mm-hmm. prepare for it and you show up, then you sort of, like, lose almost all of the credibility to make, like, a self-defense type argument. I'm not saying, like, all of it. You know, if he had just walked up and somebody just saw him with the gun and just shot him in the face, obviously, yeah. you know, that would not be cool. Or if somebody, you know, somebody just pointed a gun at him as soon as he walked up,
yeah.
And then he killed them, that could be self-defense, you know. But, like, he's there, like, antagonizing people. He's there for this whole purpose of, like, you know, like, leading this controversy.
Well, he's playing commando or whatever. Like, he's wanting to play yeah. army. And so, well, okay, well, then what do you think about this? What if we put all penis children on puberty blockers from 13 to 17?
Yeah, that's probably not good for society in general.
Okay, well, just trying to come up with solutions. Yeah. What if we or like just it. a little bit of testosterone blockers? What if we give everyone a vasectomy? I don't know if that even diminishes your testosterone production.
It does not. Yeah.
Okay, well, we should still do it, and then just it's reversible.
Sure.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I hate those boys. Like, I hate, you know what I mean? So I look at Kyle and I just, like, it's the epitome of someone who, like, I'm like, well, he's one of the people, yeah, you're supposed to send him off to war, and then he runs off into the front lines, and, you know, those people don't come home and make babies. So I agree, but it's like, we have to, there's too many people who are going to be like, that's self-defense. And I think just that if you get them on, like, because it was, I don't know what all charges he was brought up on, actually. I have only just started looking into this because all of a sudden everyone's talking about it. And so my podcast.
I didn't really follow the trial, so.
So I've heard parts of it, clearly, now, from, like, a lot of people. And the New York Times has come out and made a much better, like, video about it, because before the media was just kind of saying, hey, this is this guy who drove across state lines to as a vigilante who wanted to murder people, and he's clearly racist even though he's killing white people, but it's whatever. And, you know, okay, but the story was much more complicated than that.
No, I don't know. I mean, it was. It always is more complicated than that. Right. But, like, that's not wholly untrue, I feel. So.
Yeah, but for the media to begin to paint someone like that at every turn, just that's just their narrative of, you know, how, like, how they're seeing it. And there's a lot more going on. He didn't drive across state lines with a gun. He already was there. He had a part-time job, and he was with his dad or staying with a friend. That was also his community. So that's something that they really kept saying over and over again, that he drove across state lines. And I've even seen it recently, even though it's, like, been well established that he didn't. And so it's stuff like that where it's like, don't overplay your hand.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
Like, because then we start getting suspicious about what's going on, and we get like, you know, like, kind of stubborn about the whole thing. Because just like with the vaccines and the masks, like, the bullshit of the messaging and the hypocrisy and the selfishness of the government and their little people just makes people go, well, then we don't want your fucking, you know, we don't believe in anything. So it's just everything. The media is just, it's, well, we got to do something about the fucking media.
I don't know what you do about them, though. And anything that you do to control them, I feel like, could potentially make you more susceptible to, like, fascism in the future, which is not good.
Can everyone just stop fucking watching their shit?
I mean,
would that be better?
That would be cool if it happened, but it's not gonna.
But is it a good idea on an individual level? For, is that, like, a good, you know, like, if recycling may or may not actually be useful at all, but drinking more water and what's something that we can all agree is good?
Exercising,
sure. But something that's also just, like, good on a, well, yeah, sure, yeah, exercising. Should just like you should exercise, should you also not watch the corporate media TV shows?
I think it's good to be informed generally about what your peers are subjected to.
Yeah.
And what's,
every time I'm in a hotel, I glance at what happens on these TVs.
Yeah.
But I mostly read, you know, articles and things and listen to podcasts.
Yeah, same. So,
like, yeah. I mean, to that extent, for sure, for cultural literacy, I've watched a couple minutes of Trump speaking a couple of times. I've seen Nancy Pelosi for a horrifying moment. Sure. Yeah. I could see why you would get addicted, just the same way you can get addicted to be on Twitter, because you feel all kinds of hateful feelings, and then that's addictive, like bad cocaine. I get to cable and regular news is much like that now. So all of our parents are addicts and whatnot to this horrible, you know, when they leave the TV on.
Yeah. Well, it's insidious. You know, they take up pieces of it without even realizing that it's affecting how they view the world.
Right.
And, you know, everything's sensationalized. You know, the stuff that I agree is newsworthy, the stuff that I don't think is newsworthy, it's all sensationalized. It's all, you know, even when it's represented mostly correctly, they're still searching for every single thing about it that they can use to, like, puff up the story.
Right.
To, you know, get more views. So.
Right. So,
but again, I don't know how you fix that, because I don't really like the idea of controlling the media.
No. I mean, it can't come from the government. I mean, I don't know. A lot of us always just wish there could be a sort of spiritual evolution of people, and we all start kind of making better and better decisions, with our lives. But I don't know if we have time. Because of what they're doing to the ecosystems and things.
Yeah, I mean, we're quickly running out of time, clearly.
Yeah, but maybe we're all just kind of ready to kill ourselves as a human species. Is that kind of the vibe from a lot of people?
I don't think so, no.
Okay,
I think
great. I'm happy to hear you say it, because sometimes I feel like...
Most people aren't really ready to kill themselves. Most people are just cosplaying depressed, so...
Yeah, all right.
Or actually depressed, you know?
Yeah, it's just depression of one sort or another, sure. I know. Well, I've, like, come to realize that my depression, of course, rooted in my OCD, as everything is, because I always thought, like, that I just like gotten so much better at my OCD because it hasn't, it's not the same as it was when I was like a teenager or early, but I've just realized I've mostly gotten better at hiding it from my conscious attention. So it's just there. I'm still doing all the, I'm scratching all the itches that my physical, because I keep getting poison ivy too. And I'm finally, I'm like, what is the universe fucking trying to teach me? And it's like, oh, like you have to stop scratching.
It's unreal that you bring this up because I'm sitting here literally like scratching the spot on my leg that has like this weird fucking rash.
Dude,
right?
Don't scratch. Just, but you I can't have to not, not scratch.
I know.
You got
to
get the ointments and stuff.
I went to the doctor and he gave me the prescription shit.
Yeah, so. I know. It's hell, dude. I've been like this for the last year and a part, off and on for the last 5 years, the last year and a half, like nonstop almost. It's like,
I can't imagine. I mean, that's what like all the scars on my body are. Like all these little dots and shit is just like me. Just
yeah, you got so exactly. You got to stop scratching. And so there's all this mental stuff that you also need to stop scratching. And what we do is we just keep indulging in the thoughts because I used to have these prayers, these ritualized prayers of what I had to say in my head all the time. But either way, and then I had a lot of diet stuff and a lot of numbers constantly saying, but you're trying to control. That's why I call it OCD, obsessive control delusion, because it's like you're trying to like control outcomes. The opposite side of if I don't pray for my loved ones, they're going to die is if I do pray for my loved ones, they're not going to die. As if you can control God and the universe and everything. And so like now I still, it's like I don't have these prayers happening all the time, but you still have all the kind of like constantly worrying about everything that you could be and like going through stuff or thinking about whatever it is, like all these words in my head, it's are essentially just OCD prayers. And I have to figure out, and that's what meditation is, right? How to figure out how to actually quiet my mind and not this like fake mental health that I have where I'm still talking in my head constantly.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. I mean, I feel myself do some of the same types of things. Like I'm adapting to like my own neurosis, you know, but I'm just coming up with ways to like mitigate the visible damage that it's doing. I'm not actually like getting any better at like dealing with it on the inside. It's just taking different forms physically in my life.
Right. And that's what I realized. It's like the same way I'm like, I can't help but keep scratching. I am just indulging in following those thoughts in my mind. And I realized that when I'm in the shower and I turn on really hot water, it feels ecstatic is the word I want to use because it's like almost ecstatic.
Yeah.
It is so fucking good, but also like, it's like the beginning of an orgasm sort of where you're like not quite there the whole time. And you're just like in this like sweet agony.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like, oh my God, it was like all over my chest and neck. So I've been like, it's like so fucking, I mean, it's like insane. But then you eventually with the hot weather, you don't feel as much of that anymore. And like, so you like upregulate or whatever, downregulate, I can never remember, to that sensation. So then I realized like, okay, cause I often will joke that like that feeling almost makes it worth it to get poison ivy, but not really because it's so much fucking agony.
Right.
But that's how it feels like when you lean into depression, when you lean into hating yourself and all of that, it's like, you're just pouring that hot water over your wounds and just going like, and it's like, maybe it's worth it to keep the depression because it's easier to just be depressed, to just hate yourself, to think about how you're worthless rather than to go figure out how to not feel worthless anymore.
I mean, yes, but part of that is because depression is kind of like this positive feedback loop where like the more depressed you get, the more you really have the bandwidth to figure out why you're depressed and fix it.
So, interesting.
I mean, it takes away your ability to get rid of it as you get more of it. At least that's how I feel.
So you're saying it's just basically like you're watching yourself like go down into the trough and it's like, yeah, that's happening. That sucks. But eventually where you're at is where you're going to finally figure out how to go up the other side.
I mean, yeah, sort of, I guess you could put it like that. I think that for me in my life, I can avoid spiraling into the type of depression that will like torpedo something that I care about in life.
Yeah.
If I catch it happening early enough, and then I can like throw all of my effort into trying to make sure that doesn't happen and like fixing that before it like spirals out of control.
Yeah.
But if I don't realize that it's happened for like a little while and it passes kind of like this point of no return, it's like, oh, it already ate all of my effort that I was going to use to fix it. So I don't have enough left.
Yeah.
And so it just goes all the way until it hits rock bottom. And I kind of just hang out there for a little bit. And then eventually, when I have like no will left at all to even get up the next day, then I realize, well, I have to do something. I can't do nothing. So I just start doing something productive, like cleaning normally. And that makes me feel good. And then I start climbing back up.
Yeah, I think I just never let myself go anywhere near a bottom. You know what I mean?
I love rock bottom. I think it feels fucking great. You would.
All right. Well, maybe I should try rock bottom. It just feels weird to then purposely be like, okay, oh, but I guess I just have to catch it and then be like, okay, it's time to hit rock bottom. I just have such a, you know, my mother's, you know, voice in my head because we always had chores and duties and a pink binder of check boxes of productivity of various measurements. And so it's so hard for me to just ever let myself really have a time where I'm like indulging in for more than, I mean, maybe 20 minutes, an hour would be, you know, a rare. So I probably should.
I don't know. Maybe, but it might be terrible. You might really regret doing that. I'm not sure.
See, this is the problem. I'm not sure what rock bottom looks like for you. Right? No one is. Yeah. That's the question. Should you hit rock bottom? Is it better to hit rock bottom? You know, these people with the crazy stories, with the drugs. I mean, you know, do you just need to keep doing drugs until you're cool enough to not need drugs anymore? These are the questions.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, some people's rock bottom is suicide, so they probably shouldn't hit rock bottom. I mean, I'm not out to tell anybody different what people, to do with their lives.
Yeah.
I mean, but, like, ultimately, suicide, probably not a desired outcome. So
unless no one likes the person, including themselves. Then is it better at that point?
Yeah, if their life is agony and they make everyone else it's like with agony.
And the euthanasia stuff, even when people are just old and, you know.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm saying. I'm not here to tell anybody what to do, but, like, generally I think most people would like to not end up committing suicide. Right. So if your rock bottom is going to involve suicide, which you probably won't know beforehand, then you shouldn't hit rock bottom. So, I don't know. Do you flip that coin? Do you not flip that coin?
I think I can pretty much trust myself not to commit suicide, but that's just, like, that's part of that Mormon programming is just so deep in there. Mm-hmm. Just in case there's some Christianiness to the judgment. If there's a, you know what I mean? If there's a, then you can't kill yourself. That's a basic Pascal's wager thing. Like, that's a, you know, suicide could be frowned upon. And even just on a karmic level, it's like, you're not supposed to press reset. You're supposed to like, let God do it or whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. So they's, okay. So you have some friends who actually have said 33?
No, I haven't had anyone that's literally said that, but I do have this friend, who is a she, they person who, is 100% femme presenting.
Yeah.
I mean, queer femme presenting,
sure,
but not like
that's most butch, of the she they's. You know?
Yeah.
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 Because if you're actually whatever, then you're going to go they, them, or they, he, or he, they, whatever.
Maybe. I don't know. Not necessarily.
Yeah, but for the most part. There's, like, some of the, like, kind of boyish lesbians are going she, they. Although I think it looks awkward on them, like, a dress at this point.
I think she, they is
she, they is like the summer dress of pronouns to me. No. No self-respecting boy lesbian can be a she, they. That's girlier than me just not changing my pronouns. But I've fully bought into the spectrum already. So some people have their little ideas about what they mean by she, they. But to me, I just can't help. I didn't, you know, mean for this to happen, but I just started seeing it as a little sundress. So.
Yeah, well, that's fair. It sort of has that character to it.
I know a long hair lesbian who's, and she was on the podcast, who's like kind of masked, but long hair. Like, I'm like, okay, I can see how, as a long hair, using the pronoun helps people see the maskness that some people are so stupid that they can't see your boyness, you know, especially men, because they don't want to, because they don't want to realize how gay they are. And so if you add the they in, it's just like, it's a little attempt to get people to see that I'm one of the boys too. You know.
I think the they for a lot of people is just making space for themselves to be themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, the people who recognize that, let's say they're a girl, they're femme, but they have some mask characteristics and they feel like they'll be judged for those by the same types of people who would be okay with that person being non-binary.
Yeah. You know,
like a true hard they them.
Yeah.
And so they just throw the they out there and they say I'm she they, and they're cool with the they when it gets used, but they know it's mostly she, and that's fine too. But right. Everyone knows they're a she they, so when they have something that's kind of masked, everyone's like, oh, that's the they part, you know.
That's the they part.
But it doesn't matter that they're mostly a she.
Yeah, but doesn't this just kind of give it more categorization? Whereas, like, I was more interested in the project of expanding what she's and he's can be like, and just, you know, accept that these things are not prescriptive and that you can do whatever. So the more that people kind of they and he themselves who are like me, the more I'm like, that's why I really am no pronouns. I've become my own joke, my own character, because I would prefer that. Usually people just, when you say that, default to they, them, as if that's no pronouns. But yeah. So I'm like, no, those are the ones I don't like, because almost all the they, them people, never mind. There was a conservative non-binary dude on a podcast. Because I always joke that I was the first conservative non-binary. Of course, I'm not truly conservative, but
sure.
I mean,
Kyle Rittenhouse fan.
Depends on how you define conservative. I mean, I don't know. I'm conservative about some things, like language, for sure.
Chaotic with language. You know, I really care about it and I like it, but I'm ready to smash it. I mean, I get that, but that's a sacrifice that you'll have to make for the world I want to live in, so.
Well, I mean, things are always, pendulums are moving around. I'll continue to do my work on my side of the pendulum, but which my side is like this. Can we steer it into the middle? Well, are you people with your shoving things to one side or the other? It works, but it also gets dangerous, because then things swing hard back the other way if you go too far.
They do. Well, they can sometimes. Sometimes you pass the point of no return and they just don't swing back.
Yeah, we'll see what our rock bottom is, I guess. Yeah,
for real.
Okay, folks, so this is where the recording first cut off, and then I fucked everything up. At one point, the entire table fell over. among the things that I fucked up. Anyway, so again, you can go to YouTube. You can go to youtube.com/Ariel Norman, A-R-I-E-L-L-E-N-O-R-M-A-N, like neither woman nor man. rhymes with Mormon, but not spelled that way. Anyway, all the things people say. So yeah, youtube.com/Ariel Norman, if you want to see this, the clip that... It's exclusive to YouTube, because much of what we say is exclusive to it, actually, because you're going to hear the end of the conversation you just heard in the clip, and then there'll be the beginning of the stuff that'll be on Patreon and Substack, but there's some stuff that was only captured on video, and that was also really fun. This whole conversation was awesome. Anyway, so if you want more, if you want to support us, and or you want to hear the rest of the conversation, you can go to patreon.com/WQO, or you can go to wrongqo.substack.com. And if you subscribe, then you can listen to the rest of the conversation, which, like I said, was really good. We had lots of great, interesting ideas. We laughed a lot. We said some horribly inappropriate things together. It's all my favorite stuff. And also, yeah, just supports the podcast. I don't have a job. I don't want to. I don't want to work for other people. I have organized my life so that my bills are very low. And I do stand up and I make some money from that. But I could use more money. I'm about to buy another laptop. And, you know, it's like, that'll be out of my savings. I would love it if I could start paying for life. Maybe I should just pretend that I'm doing better. I think, yeah, because you guys want to give money to people who are already doing well, right? That's how it works. The beggars on the street who have... empty bowls continue to get nothing, and the beggars on the street who have full bowls, everyone gives to. It's like tip jars. You guys just do what everyone else is doing, you fucking sheep. Okay, I'm rich, and I don't need your help, but if you want to support the podcast, subscribe and pay money to that, just so I can lead an even more fabulous lifestyle than the one I already do. I mean, my lifestyle is honestly pretty fabulous. It's better than yours because you have a shitty job and I live out in the country and I do stand up and people think I'm awesome and hit on me all the time. And is this helping? I don't know. But you know what? Support the podcast because it's the right thing to do. If you go to Apple Podcasts, you can rate and give me 5 stars, or you can give me fewer stars. And honestly, if you feel that way, you know, it makes us look more legitimate, I think, when it's not just 5 stars. And a review really, really helps, you know, just suck the algorithmic god's dicks with one of those reviews. You can say good or bad things. I, you know, speak from the heart. I don't fucking care. Just leave a review on there. And then, you know, any kind of spreading on social is great, but also just... tell a friend or your daughter or your son or your he, she, they, sibling or whatever about the podcast here. I'm supposed to be enjoying my holiday week. You know what I mean? I'm supposed to be outside in the sun right now, but instead I'm in a cold, dark shed doing this. So support me, you fucking faggot pieces of shit. That was for my sub listeners. Ignore that if you're not that, if you don't like being degraded. I think that's everything I need to say. Thank you so much to Alexis for doing this podcast. Thank you so much to Alexis. Thank you to Coleman Wilson for the music. Thank you to Caleb and Katie Stone and Marissa Macy, who all put in some effort on the logo. Thanks to everyone who... is supporting. I really thank you to everyone who sends me nice messages. Thank you to the people who send me questions. If you have things to say, go to wrongqo.substack.com. Ideally, again, there are free memberships if you want to do that. But also, if you just want to get in contact with me, send me an email. You can send me email to ariel.norman@gmail.com, ariellenorman@gmail.com. It doesn't matter actually if you put the dot or not. As you know, I know because there's an Ariel Norman somewhere in Ohio who has uses my email address, and so I get all of her late notices. And there's a lot of people really looking for that Ariel Norman. She owes them money, and they're very disappointed in her, but or them, or him. How do I know the gender of the person who's using my email address to get her creditors off her back, their back, its back? Okay, what was I saying? Something, I feel like there was one more thing I wanted to say. I said thank you. I said subscribe and rate and review and tell people and go to Substack and Patreon and Fuck you. Am I? Do y'all guys not want me to cuss because you got kids listening? I don't think anyone cares anymore. This is late stage capitalism. This is. I really did have something else I wanted to say. Oh, follow me on Instagram at Ellen DeGenderless. Ellen DeGenderless. I just passed 2,500 followers and I want to get to 5,000 by the end of, I don't know, February. That's great. That's a good goal. Yeah. Okay. Bye.